I don't know what to do. My voice is weak. It's weak. Anyway, if I had this part in the picture, you know, it puts me right back up on top again. But this man out there, he won't give it to me. The head of the studio.
What's his name?
Waltz. Waltz. He won't give it to me. And he says there's no chance. No chance. Oh, Godfather, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you? Is this how you turned out a Hollywood Pinocchio that cries like a woman? What can I do? What can I do?
One of the best scenes ever put on film. Don Corleone has no stomach for singer Johnny Fontaine's pussified, weepy, loser behavior, so he bitch slaps him, mocks him, and tells him to act like a man. If they ever remake The Godfather, and you know some talentless Hollywood hack will give it a shot, how will that scene play out? The Godfather will probably hold Johnny, cuddle him, murmur words of comfort, and then suggest they meet with his therapist to work through issues like managing disappointment and accepting failure without gender shame and toxic male behavior. What the fuck has happened to men? Hang on, and we'll figure this out.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
What the hell has happened to men? Oh, there's a war on men. Not males. Males are defined by DNA and genitalia, and as we know, a male does not necessarily make a man. Men are a much more complex and nuanced and noble thing than mere males. Anyone can be born male. Being a man, well, that's a choice, isn't it? Something of a matter of self-creation. Concurrent with the making of this episode, Candace Owens, a very cool, beautiful, and patriotic chick, was being piled on by all the commie snowflakes who congregate on Twitter simply because she said this. There is no society that can survive without strong men. The East knows this. In the West, the steady feminization of our men, at the same time Marxism, is being taught to our children is not a coincidence. It's an outright attack. It seems what inspired Candace to tweet that was Harry Styles appearing in Vogue magazine in women's clothing. Very stylish clothing. Haute couture, you might call it. Who gives a shit about that? The Bruce Caitlyn Jenners of the world can wear whatever they like. Men have been dressing up as women, and vice versa, since the dawn of time. They were probably doing drag shows for the pharaohs. The core issue is not that some dudes prefer to look like women. It's that men, real men, are getting static simply for being men. That behaving like a man is becoming taboo, toxic, even illegal. Just try defending your life and home from an angry mob in a St. Louis suburb. That's illegal. And not dressing, but behaving unmanly with a total lack of courage, stoicism, and self-control is now not merely tolerated, but enthusiastically encouraged. This spells doom for a culture and for a nation. I've touched on this topic before, tangentially, in episode 42, the Gynarchy, Larry Strikes Back, and also episode 160, Larry Slashes Gillette. Both can be found at the show page, thatlarryshow.com. The Gynarchy episode is in the September 2017 tab, and you'll find Gillette in January 2019. There is truly an assault on men and manhood, and Candace Owens is right. The link between Marxist ideals is clear and undeniable. Now, Karl Marx, while male, was certainly no man. He was a lazy fucking leech. Despite being hailed as a hero of the working man, Karl never broke a sweat in his worthless life, never even held a hammer or a sickle, never had a callus on his soft, doughy, unmanly hands. Marx made his living the old-fashioned way. He married a rich broad, and he was very content to sit on his indolent, unproductive ass, writing his poisonous lies, while living off the proceeds of his in-laws' capitalistic endeavors. Pretty much your typical commie elitist, even now. Communism is, at its core, a somewhat feminine construct. It's a massive governmental tit. But unlike a real mother's breast that gives sustenance only until the child can handle solid food, the commie tit wants you sucking on it for life. It wants everyone to link arms and sway around the campfire and play nice kumbaya. Don't anybody stray or light out on your own or blaze your own trail or do your own thing. You stay with the hive and work for the hive and die for the hive. And if you obey Commie Mommy, in return for your obedience, Commie Mommy will give you subsistence-level necessities. Necessities she will take by force from those who actually worked for them. And even when she does, most people will still live in scarcity and starvation. Except for the commie leaders and elites, they always live like rajas. Communism discourages bravery and self-determination and encourages, no, it demands obedience and conformity. Some males like that, but men never do. To Candace's other point about the East still valuing strong men while the West denigrates them, she's also 100% correct. One night at my daughter's school, they had a big evening of a cultural exchange. A couple of dozen kids from mainland China were touring the country, strutting their stuff. And of course, the host schools were also showcasing their talents. It wasn't a competition, but clearly, each group wanted to put their best foot forward. And so there was all kinds of music, you know, string quartets and classical guitarists and pianists. There was also plenty of dance, everything from ballet to hip-hop, choirs and vocalists. It went on for almost 2 hours. And then there was the sound of a massive gong. The curtain opened again, and there were about a dozen of the same Chinese kids who'd been singing and playing violins, except now, instead of formal attire, they were wearing gis. They launched into a routine that looked like a clip from a Chomsky movie. They were incredibly good, lightning fast, precise, and several of them were girls. I was super impressed. On the way out of the auditorium, I asked the principal if there was a martial arts program at this school. She gave me the look. You know, that condescending, you're so unenlightened, you ignorant barbarian look. And then she said,
"That's not who we are."
Oh. Well, that's who mainland China is, and Korea, and the Middle East, and the regions of the world that will someday rule all the soft and gentle pussified nations in the castrated EU and North America. Nations who erroneously think people have evolved. That everyone is
civilized.
Civilization is a thin veneer. Even in the USA in 2020, Anybody watching? Portland, Seattle, New York, Minneapolis, and other cities burn. Hopefully they got some understanding of how civilized we are. And where were the strong men who should have put a stop to that violence? Well, they were told to stand down by weak men and weak women. The so-called leaders of the places where that violence raged unchecked for months. The genesis of this episode was right after the election, when TV propagandist Van Jones wept like a toddler with a scraped knee over the outcome of the election. Here's a clip.
If you're an immigrant, you don't have to worry if the president's going to be happy to have babies snatched away or send dreamers back for no reason. This is vindication for a lot of people who have really suffered.
Wow. Wasn't that professional? If you think the audio is something special, the video is even better. Van had a hanky at the ready to dab tears of joy from his eyes. Why, it almost looked as if it was a scripted performance. Only Van knows. The same Twitter twits that bashed courageous Candace for her stone truth words were fawning over Van's blubbering breakdown, because why would they? Here's why. Maybe because they like their males weak and soft and emotionally unstable. Men, masculine men, scare them, threaten them, make them afraid. To be clear here, none of this has anything to do with sexuality. This show has a number of gay listeners, and some would be considered macho men. They ride motorcycles like maniacs and shoot automatic weapons and hold advanced belts in martial arts. Some do tough and dangerous work, cops, firemen, construction, EMTs, and so on. Men. How they get their thrills in bed has no bearing whatsoever on the fact that they are dudes who can and do step up to the plate and be courageous, ballsy, dependable. Politics aside, how did Van's kind of behavior come to be not only accepted in our culture, but celebrated? When did this shit start? Where did snowflake culture begin? I don't know. Maybe it was in the 1960s with all that hippie shit. Hippies sucked. The few that remain on this side of the dirt can be viewed at the hippie zoo. That would be any Whole Foods store, where they creep around the aisles with their few remaining white hairs pulled back into a dork knob as they search for the newest macrobiotic elixir they hope will extend life. On my one and only excursion to a Whole Foods, I wanted to commandeer the PA system and make this announcement.
Attention, old hippies. No matter which superfood you eat, you're still gonna die.
That would be fun, wouldn't it? But back to mature crybaby males. What happened to the phrase fathers have said to their sons since we first crawled out of the caves? Be a man. And part of being a man meant keeping your emotions in check, and men who failed to do that were considered to be lesser men. Stoicism, courage under fire, above and beyond the call of duty, where did those things go? Sure, everybody cries, but you try not to make a spectacle of it. I cried when my parents died and my dog died and a few close friends, but most men, most women make a conscious effort to keep the tears in check. And if we do cry publicly, shouldn't it be for a valid reason, not a fucking election? In PC snowflake commie culture, individualism is bad. Consensus, permission from the high, from mommy and the matriarchy, is mandatory. Or maybe they should rewrite that word, make it womandatory, huh? But taking action solo, that's now a no-no. Whatever the situation, anyone who neutralizes a threat will be labeled a hothead, a lone cowboy, ooh, and a vigilante. Even in mundane events, being a mouse instead of a man has become okay. A good thing, as Martha Stewart used to say. I love to fish. A bad day fishing is better than a good day doing just about anything else. I've fished in several seas, from the cockpit of charter boats, the rails of party boats, rowboats, rickety docks, jetties, knee-deep in the surf, and canoes, kayaks, from bridges, you name it. A while back, I was on a party boat and witnessed a couple of fascinating scenes that spoke volumes about the state of men and our culture. Fishing is not neat. It's not sanitary. Usually you have to handle the bait, which might be live worms or maybe squid or cut bait or live bait fish. You gotta take a hook, ram it through their little jaws, or the more secure way is to shove the hook up its ass and out the mouth or a gill. Fishing is not for the squeamish. There's a certain brutality about it. You are trying to catch another living creature so you can kill it and eat it. There's no way to put a nice spin on that, no kind or gentle method. Anyone who's repulsed by those things should play bridge or croquet or join the quilting bee. Definitely stay away from fishing. So on this boat were two fishing anomalies. First, one of the mates was a very good-looking chick, real California cutie, blonde, athletic, and high energy. And sitting near me was a father and son who looked to be maybe, I don't know, 12, 13, about that. We were using live killies for bait, and it appeared the father and son were new to this. The old man, he grabbed a killie, dropped it, grabbed another, and grimaced as he baited it. He acted like he was wrestling a rattlesnake. Then he suggested his kid bait up. The son wrinkled his nose and said,
"Ew, I'm not doing that."
And Daddy said, "Okay, son," and called for the mate, and asked her to bait Sonny Boy's hook for him. I could see the girl was, a little flummoxed, but she was game, she was a pro, she grabbed Killy, held out the hook so the kid could see what she was doing, and gave him a fast tutorial on the incredibly easy task of baiting a fucking hook. She said, "See, like this, it's really easy." And then she went back to her other duties. After a while, Sonny Boy, he got a bite, but quickly lost the fish. His daddy once again called for the mate, who by now was insanely busy gaffing fish for actual fishermen. Of course, even though she was feminine as hell, she was way more of a man than these two blobs. Both of them needed the Godfather treatment. They should have been slapped and mocked. That might have given them a chance at a life of dignity. But not in these times. But I digress. What is the solution for the decline of men? Well, The Godfather was, by anyone's measure, one of the most successful and influential movies of all time. And movies can have a powerful impact on our culture. Fight Club, which was a small movie compared to The Godfather, that thing inspired actual Fight Club chapters all over the country. So in this nutty time of cosplay, maybe what we need are local chapters of Godfathers. Guys with a few years on them. Guys who maybe like to intimidate and who own a tuxedo. There will be a website, something like stopwimp.com. You shoot them a text with a location, a photo of the wimp that needs manning up, Venmo the payment, and presto. For an extra $50, he'll FaceTime the event so the wimp can review it on his phone if he starts to backslide. If that first encounter doesn't give the guy some backbone, there could be a monthly subscription for follow-up visits. I was at a supermarket recently, and Some asshole began yelling at a woman because she wasn't socially distancing enough. She was definitely not 6 feet away from him. She was about 5.5 feet from him. Would have been great to whip out the phone and summon a godfather. Watch him slap the mask right off the guy's fucking face. Then laugh and point and mock as he blubbers and weeps. Godfather would then turn to the crowd, take a little bow, adjust his Borsellino and black leather gloves, and slip into the night. With dudes like that on call, there might be hope for America. If Godfathers were successful, surely there would be copycat services, guys who specialized in making men out of wimps, but also movie-themed. The late, great R. Lee Ermey leaps to mind. He was pretty damn good at turning chicken shits into men in Full Metal Jacket.
What's your excuse? Sir, excuse for what, sir? I'm asking the fucking questions here, Private. Do you understand?
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Can I be in charge for a while?
Sir, yes, sir.
Are you shook up? Are you nervous?
Sir, I am, sir.
Do I make you nervous?
Sir!
Sir, what? Are you about to call me an asshole?
Sir, no, sir!
How tall are you, Private?
Sir, 5'9", sir!
5'9"? I didn't know they stacked shit that high.
I miss that dude. Hoorah. Maybe there's a way to start this business. It might have legs and knuckles. Of course there would be brand extensions. Godfathers could sneak bloody horse heads into the beds of recidivist wimps. That might have a more lasting effect than a public bitch slapping. All those glue factories would have a new revenue stream and more noble use for horse heads, which probably wind up as dog food. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com for more content and commentary. While you're there, click the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you like what you just heard, click the Patreon button and help me keep the lights on. Once you join the Take No Shit Dojo, you enter a brother and sisterhood of fellow commie-hating people who do not take shit. There you will find dozens of bonus episodes which tend to be a bit more personal, as well as signed books, custom recordings, and a deep bench of wise dojo senseis, ready, willing, and able to help you face any problem and slap it into submission. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, and now Gab.com, the free speech social media platform. Just plug That Larry Show into the search bar and you'll find us. There's also a YouTube channel by the same name, with some video offerings as well, like my interview with tech mogul and world-class rascal John McAfee, who regrettably now sits in a Spanish prison at the behest of the American IRS. Come back and hang with me next week for a very, very special episode, Larry's Virtual Thanksgiving. Fear-mongering punk politicians have outlawed Thanksgiving due to the scamdemic. Well, fuck that, and fuck them. I'm cooking up a Thanksgiving show for the ages. Don't miss it. Until next Wednesday, be a man. And if you're a woman, be kind to the real men that you depend on every day. We all need each other. And take no shit.